I want to share just briefly, continue sharing from the Gospel of Luke this morning, thinking about the power of Jesus in a particular story in Luke chapter 7. So Luke 7, verses 11 through 17. I want to read this, the Gospel of Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 17. The Word of God says, "Soon afterwards, he went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went with them. And he approached the gate of the town. A man who had died was being carried out. He was his mother's only son, and she was a widow. And with her was a large crowd from the town. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion for her and said to her, 'Do not weep.' Then he came forward and touched the bier, and the bearer stood still. And he said, 'Young man, I say to you, rise.' The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized all of them, and they glorified God, saying, 'A great prophet has risen among us, and God has looked favorably on his people.' The word about him spread throughout all Judea and all the surrounding country." May God bless the reading and the hearing of his word. I'm reminded simply in this story of the power of Jesus, of the obvious power of Jesus to speak to this dead man. The dead man rises, life comes back into him. Right? But often when we read a story like this, we relegate that power back to the past. That, sure, it happened in Bible times, but doesn't happen much anymore, does it? I don't see that kind of power around us. I don't see that kind of power happening. Maybe it was just for the times when Jesus was present here on the earth. So we don't really think about it as much. We don't expect it as much. And maybe we don't even ask for it. But as I read a story like this, I start having this internal dialogue with myself, which I think ends up a dialogue with Jesus. You know, it ends up in prayer. I'm like, Jesus, if you were to act like this among us today, if you were to commit this kind of deed of power among us today, think of the glory that would be thrown upon your name. From seeing someone rise from the dead, from seeing the hurting healed, from seeing those that have no chance to make it, to seeing them make it because of their commitment to Christ. Think about the glory the Lord Jesus would get. And then again, it struck me, thinking about the Word of God, thinking about a story like this, thinking about it, if Jesus would do this, the glory would be heaped upon Jesus and heaped upon God the Father. And I'm struck that I don't ask for it. Why don't I ask for it? The Bible calls me to ask for it. Ask for God to work boldly. Ask for God to boldly pour out his favor upon us, not just for us, but for the glory of his name. Ask God to pour out favor boldly upon us, especially upon those who are hurting, especially upon the nobodies all around us, especially upon the least likely, like somebody coming out of prison. Can we ask for God to pour his favor boldly upon someone coming out of the prison system needing to re-enter because we don't want them to go back? We'd rather see God raise the dead. Because friends, when somebody comes out of prison, there's a mom and a dad receiving their child back like they're back from the dead. Or there's a child receiving their mom or their dad back into their lives like they're being risen from the dead. And our prayer is for God to act boldly upon their lives, to change their heart, to change their present, to change their future, to change their destiny. But so often we think that happened back then, it doesn't happen anymore. In Luke chapter 11, verse 9, as Jesus is teaching on prayer, Jesus teaches, and you know this, to ask and it'll be answered, to seek and you'll find, to knock and the door will be opened. Now, of course, we're not asking selfishly. We're not asking for what we want. We're trying to live within the will of God demonstrated in Jesus Christ. But ask, seek, knock. A little later in Luke chapter 18, Jesus tells a parable about a persistent widow. And this persistent widow is seeking the justice she deserved, but the judge is slow in giving it. So this persistent widow pesters the judge every day until the judge finally relents. The judge finally says, "You know what? I don't care about this widow. I don't care about her case, but man, am I tired of her coming. I'm going to give her the justice she needs so that she'll stop coming to me." And God says, think about this story. Think about the persistence of the widow. Now think about God. God is not slow to grant justice. God is not slow to grant what God desires to grant. So if this judge who doesn't want to give justice finally gives, if we're persistent with God, how much more will God do things for his people who ask? But maybe we've quit asking boldly for God to work. I've mentioned before the missionary in England, 1800s, a guy named William Carey. There's a phrase that William Carey said. Many of you have heard this before, but let me introduce it to you if you haven't. William Carey said, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. I'd expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. See, maybe we don't do the second part of that phrase. We don't attempt great things for God because we've lost sight of expecting great things from God. Maybe we've arrived at the place sometimes, I know I have it sometimes, where all I'm expecting for God is just to keep it easy, keep things comfortable, keep things level. But maybe we don't attempt great things for God because we're scared. Right, so we slow down on the expecting great things from God because if we expect great things from God, we're scared of what God might ask of us. If we expect great things from God, we're scared of what that would come to into my life, the way that would call me in my life and disrupt my life and change my life when I feel like, you know, things are pretty good in my life right now. Expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. Raising the dead is obviously a bold action, a bold action. And so I want to pray for Jesus to continue to act boldly for the church, act boldly for our community, our neighborhood. Because if these bold actions happen, Jesus is exalted. And Jesus himself said, when he is exalted and lifted up, he will draw all men to himself. And that's what we're longing for. For the lost to be found, for the unbelieving to believe, for the hurting to be healed, for favor to be poured out. But don't think about favor in terms of yourself, right? Don't think about, you know, I need favor for myself. Think about favor for those who are hurting, favor for those who are desperate, favor for those who need a way they can't make it on their own. Because as we've seen throughout the gospel, right, when you seek the good in others, you end up finding it there yourself, right? When you give your life away as you follow Jesus and take on the cross, that's where you find life. That's where you find it. So seek that favor in others. Seek that hope in others, and I promise you'll find it in yourself. Because, friends, that's the pattern of Jesus. That's the pattern of the table that's set before you today. Right? That's the pattern of the Son of God who gave his life away upon the cross in order that we might have favor with God. That's the pattern of Jesus who sacrificed his body and blood in order that we might be reconciled to a right relationship with our Father. That's the pattern of the one who gave his life away. That we might find life now, life eternal. We might now live in that giving life away pattern of Jesus Christ. That's what's at the table before us. Because with his body and his blood, Jesus sought our favor with God. That we who were dead, right? Every one of us dead in our own sins, might be brought to life together with Christ so that God might show the immeasurable riches of his kindness toward us in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so as we come to the table in these next few moments, come with boldness. The text we read at the very beginning of the service, come boldly to the throne of grace that you might find the help in the time of need. Come to the table with boldness, asking God to act boldly in your own heart, asking God to act boldly in the life of New Hope Baptist Church, asking God to act boldly in our community, in our city, not for ourselves, but that Christ is glorified, that people are drawn to the gospel, that lives are changed, that destinies are changed. Come this morning, and as you take this bold, audacious gospel into your own body, ask God to work boldly, to lead you boldly, for the courage you need to follow him boldly, to seek that favor. Jesus acted boldly in the middle of nowhere, in Nain, Nain is a little community, a little village outside the middle of nowhere in the Middle East. And there he acted boldly. God's favor has come, they declared. God is with us, they declared. I want to invite the deacons to come forward to prepare the supper as I pray. God, we thank you for your great love for us in Jesus. We thank you for your bold action on behalf of this widow at Nain, raising her son back to life. We thank you for the response that we see there, the response of declaring a prophet like Elijah has come, the response of God's favor being upon them. God, teach us to pray and to ask and to seek and to knock boldly for your work. We can't do it, but we pray, O Lord, that you would work boldly on behalf of those who are hurting, boldly on behalf of those without hope, boldly on behalf of your church, boldly on behalf of your name, that you, O Lord, would receive all the glory. In Christ's name together we pray, amen.